All right, put your quill down, John. It's tech time.
Quill.
The Luddite over here. It's Thursday. The takeaway means talk tech. We talk tech. And listen carefully. Shh. I hear the sound of some heavy hype.
Everyone's been talking about this iSlate.
What we all believe we're going to see at this January 27th event.
iPod on steroids.
A 7-inch Apple tablet.
$1,000 consumer item.
A Kindle killer. An iPod killer.
So 3 or 4 times the price of the Kindle.
It's all speculation at this point.
We're still talking about a mythical creature here.
What are they talking about?
Well, with buzz like that, it must be something sleek and caressable from Cupertino, California. Apple's new tablet, iPad, iSlate, I give up. Stephen Levy has some opinions on the matter. He's been following Apple for years, as his Wired readers know. He's also the author of The Perfect Thing, How iPod Shuffles Commerce, Culture, and Coolness. And Cliff Kwong is here in the studio with us. He also writes for Wired and blogs about design and tech for Fast Company, has some opinions of his own. Cliff, first of all, a lot of buzz about the name of this device, this amazing thing, whatever it is. iSlate, iPad, what do you think it's going to be?
All the things that I've been reading indicated it's going to be iSlate. There were some, you know, sort of shell company shenanigans that happened to register that name, apparently under Apple's rubrics. So it looks like it's going to be the iSlate, although, you know, we'll see.
Classic Steve Jobs, right, Stephen, to be going around and grabbing names and filing lawsuits, all that kind of thing?
Right. Well, the criminology around Apple is, makes Russia look pretty shabby, really. Every patent Apple files, every trademark foray is examined pretty closely. And if every one of these things that people examined came about, Apple would have 10,000 products with a million names. So it's going to winnow down to one product and one name. And there's always something about that product, though sometimes people guess the name, which no one anticipates. So.
But is this going to result in slate casts and slate books? And, you know, is the language going to change again here?
Podcasts.
That is what happens here. You know, that's why, you know, half the words in the English language these days begin with a small I and a capital letter after it.
I'm going to change my name to I Miles. All right, Cliff, let me ask you this. Let's talk about what this product is.
Sure.
This is, you know, kind of an overgrown iPhone. Is that it?
I think that, to be clear, we should ask, what does this thing do? I don't think the world needs another sort of slim computer that's about 10 inches.
Hello.
Right?
Yeah,
we've
done that.
So the interesting thing, though, is that this is being touted as something that could potentially have a sort of rich media reading experience that, for example, the Kindle doesn't offer, the Kindle being like a sort of black and white book reader. And the reason that you even want something richer than that is that you could potentially then start migrating content like magazines and newspapers and even books, too, into something like the iSlate in a way that hasn't ever really been done before, ever been done very well.
So more function than the Kindle, more money. Stephen, they got to be nervous about this at Amazon.
Well, of course they are. And then, you know, Amazon... strength really is what's on the other side of the Kindle is all those books and an easy way to get to them.
It's all about the content.
But Cliff makes a really important point here. So theoretically, based on what you're reading, and Stephen, what do you think? I mean, people could take Photoshop layouts and port them directly to this, and you're really creating whole new ideas of magazines. Digital magazines suddenly become a completely rich media concept with video.
And I think what's really been interesting is that essentially publishing companies, Condé Nast, which I was in Wired included, have been salivating at this idea. Basically, they've been begging the industry to create something.
Of interest.
They're already developing content for a device that they don't know exists yet. It's sort of amazing.
Well, Stephen, give us a little bit of the backstory here. There's a lot of tension between the publishers and Amazon because they got a monopoly and they've been offering up very low prices for these books, right?
Definitely. And then there's another player in there called Google.
I've heard of them.
Which is, you know, part of this complication. You know, the story in tech used to be Apple versus Microsoft, and you know now we've got, you know, it's what, either a triangle or a four-way thing going between Microsoft and Apple and Google and Amazon in some of these skirmishes, and in each one, each company has sort of a big edge and dominance in one certain area and wants to leverage that to dominate in everything.
The power of four here. What do you think, Cliff?
Well, I think that the important thing to remember in this story is, you know, when you look at something like Isolate and you ask why it's generated so much hype, I mean, I think the answer is that so many industries are looking to this as their savior, right? I mean, you've got magazines, which 2 years ago people were saying were safe, but now are actually in quite serious trouble. And this something like this could really help sell the new idea of magazines. And Apple is good at that in a way that no publisher actually is.
I think we got two magazine writers here fighting for their jobs.
I think it could be. I'm detecting a little desperation in the room.
Well,
all right.
I mean, I will say that it's not guaranteed that it'll work, right? I mean, there have been efforts like this in the past, like to introduce magazines to CD-ROMs and things like that that haven't worked. And, you know,
we'll see if
a magazine is rich text, does it become TV?
I mean, all right, well, next time we talk, it'll be out, whatever it's called. Cliff Kwan and Stephen Levy, thank you very much for the Tech Talk. See, you actually like that.
More tech. I own a computer machine. Yes, indeed. I do.
It's the latest.
So go to our website. Actually, you can hear Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, talk about Twitter, speaking of our tech segment. And we're still hearing from you about reaction to that loss in Massachusetts.
Coakley's loss is actually good news for congressional Democrats because it gives them an excuse to sell us out even more to the insurance industry by watering down the so-called reform even further. We only have 59 seats in the Senate now, they say. But let's remember, 59 seats is more than Bush ever had back when he was getting anything he wanted.
You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Miles O'Brien.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.